So good morning, good morning, good morning. We're in the process of sort of investigating who God is and who God's love and what it's about, and loving our mission statement is love God, love people. You see it on our welcome loop all the time. Love God, love people. It's very simple. But there are things that get in the way of loving God. And usually, you know what it is? It's me. No, I don't get in the way of your loving God. I get in the way of me loving God. It's you who you get in the way of you loving God. It's a very self-centered situation. And the interesting thing, it's about our flesh and about our world and the way we are and our just our existence. And you know who knows? There are two people who really know that best outside of even yourself. That's God knows that we're flesh, and he still loves us. And the number two person who knows it really well is the devil. Now, how many knows that there is a devil? There is Satan. There is a devil, right? We know that. We've got to know that. You've got to know that there really is evil. There's evil in the world, and then the enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, he comes in and really causes trouble. If you don't think there's evil in the world, all you have to do is take a look at Syria and ISIS. Now, you can say all you want about togetherness and coexistence with other religions, and I'm fine with that, really. I really am. But an organization like ISIS is not about faith, is not about God, is not about Allah, whoever you want to call it, is about evil. That's all there is to it. It's an evil bunch of evil people being driven by an evil power. Understand that. It's an evil power, and that is driven by this fallen angel, Satan. Understand, that's if you come to L19, that's what we believe very strongly. I'm not anti-Muslim or anti-Islam or anti-Jews or anti-Buddhists or anti-Catholics or anti-Presbyterians. Well, maybe. No, I'm not anti. But the bottom line is there is evil in the world, and Satan loves to mix it up and make it even worse. Now, getting back to what we initially started to talk about, the fact is there is evil in us. You know, in Romans, St. Paul talks about the fact is none of us are good, none of us are righteous, not one of us. Jesus died for us to become faithful and become righteous. That's why. But all on our own, we deserve to go to hell anyway. Okay? That's sort of what we are. One of the biggest problems with our flesh and with ourselves is this one word, and you'll know it, and that's what we're talking about today, temptation. Temptation. All right, as we would go, temptation, with big echo. We are all tempted, aren't we, in one way or another? We're tempted for something. We're tempted to lie. We're tempted to protect ourselves. We're tempted to build ourselves up. Why? Because we are flesh. It's a natural thing to do, is to be tempted and then to react. It's a world situation that we are tempted in many, many, many ways. It's how we react is what separates us from the rest of the world. Us as Christians or whatever, Jesus believers or whatever you want to call it. It's how we react to that temptation. And we've got the best model of all time in how you react to a sort of a human condition, a human trait called temptation, and that's Jesus. And the first time we really got to know Jesus as a special, special, special person on the earth is this scripture in Luke 4, 1 through 13, We'll put it up on the wall so you can see. This is the story. This is bear with me. It's Luke. If you have your Bibles, Luke 4, 1 through 13. And it says this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led. This was after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And he came out and a dove came down from heaven and people heard him, God say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. I'm so proud of you, boy. Go get him." And so he got out of the river, took off his swimsuit, took off his board shorts. And, okay, I'm reading into that. That's a surf Bible. and went to the desert in his four dune buggy. No, he went in and he said, "Boy, this is crazy." But here it is. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, he fasted for 40 days too. Some say no water even, no food or water for 40 days. I don't know about you, but if you've gone a day without food, I know my wife's situation. She's going to kill me if she fasts for a day and a half. She's ready to kill me. "I am hungry, give me food." She shakes. She shakes like this. That's the human condition she's in. Yeah, just one of the... But the bottom line is he was in the desert. He was fasting. He was trying to get connected with the Lord. He was sacrificing his own comfort to grasp on to something that God had for him. That's why we fast. And we might fast the phone for 3 days. We might fast TV for 3 days. We might fast food for a couple of days. Why? It's an act of sacrificing something so we can get more, that be filled up with something that the Lord may have for us. That's one way to look at it. He was out there saying, "Okay, it's time to start this thing called my kingdom walk." He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Yeah, end of 40 days. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." It is written. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will be yours." Now, what is that? Sometimes people say, "Well, what do you mean? How can the devil have, you know, well, how is he in charge?" Well, he's the prince of the world. He's in charge of this, of the plane that we live in, the worldly plane that we live in. He can mess us up. He's not a creator. Understand that. The devil is not a creator. He can't make this chair into an apple tree. God can do that. He's not a creator. But what he can do is he can take that darkness, that sin, that trouble that's already inside us, that flesh that we struggle with every day, he can make that something evil. He can lie to us. He's this deceiver. He can tear us down. He can make us feel bad about ourselves and about the people around us. He can lie to us. He can tell, you know, you're right. That thing that you feel, it is true. You are no good. He can tempt us. And here he is tempting the Son of Man, the Son of God. Here he is. He's also an arrogant SOB. He's an arrogant guy that he thinks he can tempt Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How stupid this guy, this evil Satan was. And he says, "I'll give it all to you. All you have to do is worship me. And all this power, all this influence will be yours. All this power." And Jesus answered, "It is written." Hey, he said that again. Keep that in mind. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Or him only. The third time, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, and so the devil, he's starting to say, okay, now I'm going to sort of turn it on him. I'm going to turn it on him that I'm going to use some of the Bible too. Now, if you think evil people don't know the Bible, you're really mistaken. Evil people may know the Bible more than you and I sometimes because they want to use it for evil. And Satan knows that. So he says, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, I will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, like he said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So each time Satan attacked him or tempted him with either glory or influence or power, or here it is, protection, Jesus answered him by quoting the Bible. By the word of his Father, the word of God, even when Satan wanted to. And I love this last verse. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an appropriate time. He left him. He knew he lost this round. But he's so stupid that he doesn't quite know that Jesus is in charge of everything, and God has already won. Amen? God has already won. Jesus is in charge of everything, and Satan is a defeated foe, but he's too stupid to know. Now, this is something we have to remember at all times. It's not like a gunfight at the Ocala Corral. One guy in a white hat's a good guy, and Satan's a bad guy in a black hat. Who's going to win the gunfight? I don't know. Will Satan win or will Jesus win? We've got to understand God has already won. But Satan has his way. Why? Because he wants to challenge us. God wants to see strong, righteous people, and he will let Satan do his work. Because if we can be moved towards Satan just by temptation, then our righteousness is not fully grown. It's not fully matured. You follow me? Because that's important to know. Satan is already lost. Live in that. Understand, he's gone. He's broken. Break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. We sang it earlier. Amen? So, just remember, you know, the devil was tempting Jesus himself, but he also knew that he was going to have another chance. And as we get ready, we're in Lent, and as we get ready to celebrate Easter coming up in a couple of weeks, in about 5 weeks, right? That we're going to again have an opportunity to experience that brilliance, to experience that cracking of time, to experiencing Jesus dying on the cross for us and rising from the dead. Without that, what do we got? We've got a cool philosophy. But with that, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break our temptation, to help us navigate through this temptation that we've all got. We've got it today. We probably had it this morning. Were you tempted to drink? Were you tempted to cuss? Were you tempted to give up when the enemy was saying, this isn't worth it? Just give up. This God thing isn't worth it. Walking in righteousness isn't worth it. Treating people with love and respect when they treat you like crap isn't worth it. That's the enemy talking. That's the enemy tempting you to give up. Temptation is, as I said before, is a very natural trait. It's a natural condition. It's natural. It's a natural part of being a human being. Temptation is to be human. We are tempted. The devil knows this and uses it. In the Epistle of John, the Apostle John says this: don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. You know what that feels like? If you love the world or you're striving for something, money makes the world go round, Cabaret. Money or anything that we strive for, the world squeezes out a place in our heart for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out because Jesus died for us. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. To me, that sort of encapsulizes the concept of how to deal with temptation. Doug, we'll bring that back up at the end of the time, okay? I don't think I did. It was just the one. I think I did. Well, here's the thing. Here are the temptations that we struggle with. Here's the temptations that we struggle with. Number one is pleasure. We hunger for things. Even from food, it's a pleasurable experience. We are tempted by pleasure. We are tempted by the act. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, let the stone become bread. He even said it to Jesus. He knew he was hungry. He knew if he fed him some bread, he would experience pleasure. He would feel a feeling of sustenance, a feeling of, I'm better now. This really feels good to me. Nanner, nanner, nanner. So, pleasure is the first one. To use my own strength. This is what the devil said. If all you got to do is praise me, and you will, in your own strength, feed yourself for your own benefit. I feed myself and I feel much better. That pleasure temptation takes over. You following me on that? When we want pleasure, we want something that we can't have. Number two is power. We want influence over our lives. We don't want to have to follow the rules. We want power and we want influence and we want to say. That's what the devil said. He led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give you all your authority and splendor. We want that power. Jesus knew how to respond to it. It comes, power and influence, it comes if I put my devotion or something into something other than God. That's how I get power and influence. I'm going to put my devotion and my effort into my job more than God, into my looks more than God, into being charming and meaningful and funny more than God. That's how I'll get influence and power. Number two, the number three, the real big temptation is pride. Aren't I something? I can do all things through me who strengthens me. Importance. We're important. I am so important. God and the angels will protect me from harm. Satan was turning it on him, saying, hey, look, the Bible itself, Jesus says, hey, the angels will protect you. You're so important. All you have to do is worship something other than the Father in heaven, and you can have all the importance in the world, all the pride. You can have pleasure. You can have power, and that will build your pride. These are the temptations we go through on a daily basis, really, in one form or another. Don't we want to please ourselves? Don't we want to not be hungry? Don't we want to have sexual pleasure if we're married or not, it doesn't matter? We're tempted by that. We're tempted by pornography every day. We're tempted by evil in one way or another. We need money. Money gives me pleasure. Money also gives me power. And I want that. I want that money on my own power, on my own say. This is temptation. This is what we go through. And then that 13th verse, remember? When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. He was coming back. He was coming back to Jesus, back at Jesus, and he comes at us all the time. Having failed, like the devil really departed from Jesus. It doesn't mean he leaves the story, though. Remember, later in Luke, he influences Judas, who was going to go against Jesus, who was going to betray Jesus. He works behind the scenes in all kinds of various situations, demonic encounters Jesus experiences throughout his ministry, especially in the garden, when Jesus was hurt so much and striving and asking the Lord, please, God, is this the only way we can do this? And then I would think Satan was there going, you don't necessarily want to do this, do you, Jesus? But then what did Jesus do? Jesus said, but thy will be done. Whatever you want, God, let's go. He served the Lord. He looked to the Father, not to his own temptation, to his own flesh. That was his victory. That's the victory we can have by keeping our eyes on Jesus and the Father rather than being succumbing to our own temptations. Well, that's easy to say, Pastor. You just say, just do it. It's like Nike. Just do it. Right? The Nike commercial. Just do it. Yes, but how? I always like to try to think, okay, YBH. Yes, but how do we do this? Well, the first thing on it is wisdom. No, wisdom is the beginning of all knowledge, the beginning of the blessings. Just know that we will be tempted. Just because we know Jesus or we walk with him or we read his word and carry our Bible and love Jesus and love singing worship God, worship songs, don't ever think we're not going to be tempted, because we are in every way, especially the closer you get to the Father. The closer you get in your walk with Jesus as a Christian, the more temptation might attract you. The enemy has a bullseye on your back, and he's going after you. Jesus was tempted, so why not me? So I got to know that I'm going to be. Knowledge is good. Just know it. Put it in your system. Number two, read and know the Word of God. Jesus used it to answer the enemy. We can too. That's what it's for. One of the many things it's for. It's to build us up. It's to make us strong when temptation comes. When the enemy comes and tries to lie to us that we're not worthy of Christ. When he lies, he says, yes, but he died. Jesus came to save me. We know the word of God. Jesus answered with the word of God. And the other thing is, use communication. We have open communication with Jesus. Pray. And understand, prayer is not just a one-way conversation, a one-way talk. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. Listen, hear, stay closer to God. Reading the word and praying to Jesus and listening for his answers makes you know his voice more and more. These are the ways to battle temptation. The key to Jesus' triumph was his faithfulness in walking with God. He was faithful. He was always in prayer. Wherever God led him, he was following. Even in the midst of this desert time, this temptation time, we have our own desert times where we feel, where's God? And we're being tempted by the devil. Yes, so remember, I said temptation is a very natural human condition, right? A very natural human trait. The devil knows and uses this. But because we call ourselves believers, Jesus believers, we are clicked into being supernatural. We can step away from our own natural flesh and say, because we are born again in Jesus, because Jesus has smiled on me and the Holy Spirit resides in me, I can be actually supernatural. I don't have to depend on my natural flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not Superman. But in a way, we are, aren't we? Because the Holy Spirit resides in us and gives us power and gives us knowledge and wisdom and guidance. The closer we are to God, the further away the enemy is. He can't hang when we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we are in the presence of God. So that's the only way to really block temptation and fight temptation is to get closer and closer and closer to the one who really put it aside, Jesus Christ. Right? Amen. Amen? We're all tempted, but we are set free through Christ and God's word. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. That's what it is. So why don't we pray for a minute here? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. And use the words that you've given us today. The word on temptation. The gospel. The words of Jesus Christ. To fire in our hearts the armor that we sometimes need to block the attacks of the enemy, and to even help us cultivate a more godly, faithful place to be when our flesh overflows, when our own selfness comes out. Your scripture says, more of you and less of me. More of you, God. That's what we need. More of you in our lives and much less of me and my flesh. Renew in us a pure heart, Lord. Give us faithfulness. Let us experience your love and your faithfulness so we can become that faithfulness in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. And we're so glad we are connected with you. And we praise your name and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.